from your hostess with the mostest, Lauren Hines.
This is I Did It My Way, the podcast that brings you into the story of leading entrepreneurs and tastemakers.
Ilana Walker is the lead certified wedding and event planner for Ilana Walker Events, LLC, and the founding editor of Southern Noir Weddings. With over 8 years of experience in the event world, Ilana has planned weddings all over the U.S. and Bahamas with clients ranging from doctors, lawyers, professional athletes, federal agents, and the list goes on. Ilana is known for a classic, timeless style that she brings to her wedding designs and her ability to provide her clients with a personal luxury planning experience. With over 8 years in the industry, her expertise has landed her several appearances on NBC, CBS, and the Wedding Channel networks. Her work has graced the pages of Brides Magazine, The Knot Magazine, Southern Bride and Groom Magazine, Weddings Magazine, and Munaluchi Bride. Such blogs as Style Me Pretty, Essence, Ebony, Isle Perfect, BlackBride.com, and Wedding Wire, to name a few, have featured her work. As a member of the International Live Events Association, she has won Best Wedding, $75,000 budget or higher in 2016 and 2017, and Event of the Year in 2016. After being a member since 2012, she now sits on the board as the Vice President of Programs and Education. The former animal healthcare employee turned wedding planner is an avid animal lover, which is why Ilana decides not to consume or wear anything made from animals. Currently residing in Raleigh, North Carolina, her true inspiration toward success is fueled by her two sons, Trey and Clark. The love she has for her sons make her strive more and more each day for greatness, as she believes she is their blueprint.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for this installment of I Did It My Way. I'm Lauren Hines, your hostess, and I'm so excited to be joined today by Ilana Walker. You all have probably seen her face any and everywhere. If not, you've probably seen her designs in a lot of places and just realize that it's not necessarily Ilana Walker. It may have had one of her other brand's names on there. But I'm super excited that we're joined with her today. She's a super busy and super wonderful mom, an entrepreneur, and so we're grateful to have this time with you this morning. Ilana, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I'm so happy we're finally connecting and working on something together. I found Ilana through probably her Instagram page or Facebook. And I think it was your Facebook page. I saw one of your creations and I just wanted to connect with you.
Yeah.
Because I was able to go down and find out not just that you're a wedding planner, which in itself has so many roles, right? But
right.
Even how you entered the industry. So without stealing any of your thunder, would you mind sharing a little bit of that, about that before we get into the meat of our...
Absolutely. How I got into the industry. Well, so when I, you know, I'm originally from Chicago, but of course I live here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I went to high school in North Carolina and went back to Chicago for college. And while I was there, I worked for a music production company, planning events like at a club whenever celebrities would come to town. And so when I finished and I moved back home, you know, and I had my son, I was like, you know what? I really want to be in control of my schedule. I want to start a business. And I just thought back to what I enjoyed doing the most, which was event planning. So my son was turning two and I planned a Spider-Man birthday party. And I mean, like, I had men come and audition for Spider-Man. I had a whole script written out and everything, and it was great. It was great. Yeah. They came, I picked the Spider-Man, and everything was good. And sorry.
Nope, that's how it goes. It's real deal.
And we had the party. It was definitely on a budget back then, and everything was great. Everything was perfect. I did another birthday party for someone else, and I was like, this is not quite making me as much money as I would like. Mm-hmm. So I stepped into weddings and I just engulfed myself in Emily Post and, you know, Martha Stewart and every, you know, everything wedding. And then I got my first client, which was a former high school classmate of mine who was stationed in Afghanistan. I did her wedding. And then after that, everything just took off.
Wow. Now, there's a longer journey. I know you gave us the short of that. You come from a design background, which is evident in all of your affairs.
Yeah.
How did you come from that background and what made you go into design? Because you came into events obviously through your prior career, but how did that translate and how did you even get started in design?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I study fashion design, and I'd always been, you know, interested in fashion design, even from a little girl when I was, you know, drawing dresses
right.
and
that yeah.
And my senior year in high school, I made a girl's prom dress. And so I always loved being able to express my creativity in that way. So when it came down to, you know, weddings and really realizing that I was still able to utilize my design background and just be, you know, use it as a creative release, mm-hmm. and that kind of helped to kind of segue into, you know, people really knowing me more for my designs versus me as a planner.
Yeah. Yeah. You have, you're that triple, that double threat. I call it triple threat because you're mama too. Mamas have that extra, that extra oomph with us. But, yeah. But in terms of your profession, that being able to do both the planning and design, how much of the design are you actually having your hand on? The conception, I know you work with a couple of really great florists out there in North Carolina and wherever you do your weddings, but yeah. how much of that are you actually doing? Because it's hard to do both.
Design is not hard. It's hard to do the flowers, to actually assemble the flowers. Mm-hmm. And as I was really growing as a wedding planner and as a designer, I thought to myself, oh, I can do flowers. Yeah. And it was one, it was a great lesson for me. I can do flowers and coordinate and at the same time. So I did, I partner with a company out here called Fresh Affairs, and they literally bring my vision to life. Mm. And from the layout to the place settings, to the linens on which tables, to the, you know, what the centerpieces look like, everything, I am designing it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, they're stunning. I mean, it looks like a Disney movie that I look at. Any of them. Yeah, they're beautiful. Beautiful. And it takes such care. Yeah. As soon as you start trying to create the floral design on your own, you start recognizing, wait a minute, this is not going to happen alongside yeah. logistics and getting people in place. Yeah.
I mean, you know, what I would experience is it's Friday. I receive a shipment of flowers in, and this could very well be wrong. I'm sure my florist people would be like, that's not right. But I would receive a shipment in of flowers. And first thing in the morning, I'm, you know, kind of going through the flowers and thorning them and peeling off the dead petals and just prepping them. And that much, just getting through the prepping of the flowers yeah. took me into rehearsal. So yeah. I would have rehearsal that evening. So I would break, do rehearsal, and then I'm up all night creating these arrangements, maybe an hour or two of sleep. And then here I go off to the event, you know, off to the wedding. And it just didn't work for me. And you know, now, of course, later, and knowing how, you know, some other people do it, I do see how it could have worked. But at that particular stage in the game, it just didn't make sense. And so I'm happy that I was really able to find, you know, a good partnership with a florist here that, you know, didn't feel the sense of ego of, well, I want to do my stuff. But, you know, actually, we could come together and really combine our heads to create amazing designs for
I love that you give credit and kudos to the people with whom you work as well. I noticed that you're always tagging, you're mindful of writing who did this or who photographed or videoed this. Because a lot of planners, after they've arrived, very few actually will give credit to who helped to create what you're seeing before your eyes.
Right. And I get it. I do, because there's a lot of people out here that want to steal your vendors and think that they can recreate what you've done. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is that they can't. They can, you know, it's that love that you put into it that makes it your own. And I've seen weddings where they've literally used all of my vendors, all, you know, my venue, everything. Wow. And it just doesn't look the same. And I mean, this even comes down to brides too. I've had brides who hire, you know, Carolina Fed, my event management company, to do this coordination, but they've gone through and they've selected all of our vendors, but still their wedding still lacks a certain EWE. Just because you use my vendors doesn't mean that you know how to use them.
That's right. And it's your DNA. I mean, you've brought all of your collective experience as a professional. That's when we talk about, okay, obviously collaboration over competition, we want that. But there's going to be a piece of you that no one can replicate. And the EWP, Alana Walker productions or events, no matter what you're doing, it's gonna have your essence in there. And so I think people have to be mindful of that when we start being so grabby, because we can't control people or what they do, but
right. You
are your own essence.
And that's right.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, and I know that if they share a picture, I would want them to cite me, you know, if you're the cake maker and you share, you know, the cake that we sat down and we, yes. You know, designed together and, you know, I so nicely referred, you know, right. I want them to, you know, mention me as well. So I get where other planners are coming from, but I just come from a school of thought is what's for me is for me and what's not for me is not for me. And I know that only works to a certain point, but I just think, you know, if you're a bride and you know, you pick all my vendors, okay, you're not the bride for me. If you're a vendor, if you're a wedding planner and you select all my vendors, okay, you're welcome. Still not going to be Lana Walker event.
That's right. That's cool. Now you talk a lot about obviously having transitioned. You had to make the decision. I'm not going to be doing all of the glorious, glamorous floral design in addition to the wedding planning, coordination, execution, you know. But you're also a mom, and there's a lot to be said about being an active parent as well as a super active entrepreneur. How have you been able to maintain starting a wedding planning company, first off, and having young children?
Yeah. My oldest son, who is 12, Trey, you know, we grew up with the business together. And so he was really able to know, understand, and see what I was building and what was going on. And while, you know, at a certain point, it may have been tough, oh, every weekend she's gone or she's busy in the evening, you know, I definitely made sure to have a down season. December is a great time to have a down season. And I email my brides and I say, hey, it's been great all year, but it's December 1st.
That's
and
right.
I catch you on January 1st.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, I prepare them for that. First of all, in my, when they first, you know, lock in with me, that's one of the things that I help, that, you know, I have them understand is in December, I go on vacation, but don't worry, I'll, you know, bring you to the point where you're comfortable enough for me to go. Aside from your venue burning down or something of that nature, I don't really believe in wedding planning emergencies of that nature. But for the most, like, I still let them know, like, if you absolutely need something, you can reach out to me. But just know that this is the time that I'm getting to know my family again and they're getting to know me again. So it's really important to just schedule it out ahead of time as much as possible. And just, you know, whatever you do, you just make sure that you make time for them, because that's your legacy. And then I feel like in a very pinnacle point of my career, I had my second son. And I will say that was definitely tough. I'm a single parent. So, you know, just going through all of that, you know, by myself, I have at that point, I think he may have been like 8 or 9. And then I have a newborn. And then I'm pushing out 40 weddings in that year.
I feel the stress over here.
Yes. It was, I will tell you, it was very, very, but I went into survival mode, you know, and I was like, oh my God, I've got to get formula. I've got to, you know, buy clothes. I've got to do this. I got to do that. I've got to book as many weddings as I can. And I did, and I nearly died, but I'm still here. And I learned a great and valuable lesson on the other end of that. And now I'm very adamant. When it's the weekend, if I'm not doing a wedding, it's the weekend. I'm not opening my computer. I'm not doing any of that stuff, because they deserve as much time from me as my clients do, if not more. And I think it also goes into higher, you know, working with the correct clients too, because clients should understand. They should know that they don't own you just because you're helping them plan their wedding.
Yes. So you hit on a couple of golden things in there, Alana. Like you said, clients should understand, and that starts with having the ideal client. How would you describe your ideal client, and how do you coach, say, someone newer in the industry on what their ideal client is, if they can even identify that at this stage in their journey?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm answering that question backwards. So when I coach potential planners to find their ideal client, I think the best and most organic client for them is the client that's closest to who they are. because I think it's a lot easier for them to be able to touch them and really know, you know, really be able to market towards them, because it's almost as if they're marketing towards themselves. Right. So you have to really profile yourself, take the time to really profile yourself and say, okay, before I was a wedding planner, or, you know, or what was I doing? What college did I go to? Did I pledge or did I not? Was I more so into, you know, sciences, or was I, you know, more so into arts? Just everything, you know, where do I like to hang out? Where do I like to shop? These are the things that can make up who your client is, and it makes it a lot easier to appeal to them. It makes it a lot easier to select the colors for your website and for your brand, and to build your website and know, okay, if I put this picture on the cover, then I know that this is going to speak to me because I like glitz and glam, so my bride is going to like glitz and glam. Yeah. So that to me is how you market and try to figure out who your ideal client is. Now, that's not saying that, you know, you won't attract the goth bride or anything of that nature, and it's not saying that you can't work with them either, but on overall, you know, definitely pick something that feels organic to you. Now, the same applies to who my client is. You know, my client is, I would say, I mean, even down to the age, I would say she just got out of college up to being 40, 45-ish, you know, she's really excited about getting married, but she's also a professional and she's very busy in her career. And she knows what she wants, but she doesn't exactly know. And she is excited to lean on my expertise, and she is ready to trust my expertise with moving forward. I think that it's really, really important to trust who you hire. Otherwise, you're going to have a hard time. And so whenever I'm, you know, talking with a bride, potential bride over the phone, I ask tons of questions. I try to get to know them as people. And that helps me to determine whether or not I am going to move forward with them.
That's good stuff. You were talking about the ideal client, and my husband and I, we have a partnership with digital marketing, and that is so critical to know who you're focusing in on. Mm-hmm. And I love that you have identified that, because I don't know many planners who have done that, to be quite candid, or that can be able to spit off, okay, this is my target audience, this is who I'm going after, because then you're a little less focused on everybody else's, right? When you know focusing in. How much marketing do you use as an engine for you to be able to attract clientele, or do you feel like a lot of yours are at this stage referral business?
Well, let me say this. When I started out, I followed the philosophy of brides need to see you in at least three places to consider you to be relevant and you know, valid. So every tax time, I wasn't going out buying a new wardrobe. I wasn't buying new furniture. I was investing in the Knot, Wedding Wire, you know, print, you know, making sure that I was in bride's space. And I think that that did help me to grow, because obviously, you know, if you are on Wedding Wire and the Knot, you know, you're getting exposed to brides and they're reaching out to you. You know, for me, when I started, I didn't see a lot of wedding planners displaying Black brides. And so that was very important to me, because I knew that my bride was, you know, now I love every bride. Let me just say that. Asian, Caucasian, it doesn't matter. I love them all. Right. But when I looked, I said, how can I make myself stand out? Yeah. And it was putting a Black bride on, you know, on display. Because to me, that let the Black brides know, hey, I'm your planner, call me. And it did. So definitely making sure that whatever you do, it doesn't look like everybody else's stuff. Because there's someone out there that's looking for what you are selling or you're offering. So that was back then, but now it's a lot of word of mouth at this point. You know, I think you go through the point of, okay, advertising, you know, people that you went to college and people that you went to high school with. Once you get through those people, then it's word of mouth. And all of those brides and those mothers of the brides that you just built this wonderful relationship with, they're referring clients to you. And that's kind of where I am now.
Yeah, that's great. That's excellent. You know, because there's so many new people who are afraid almost to put a marketing dollar out there. But we put dollars out all the time, but how much of it is really for our business that we're putting out? And we look at something like a quarter or a season for it to work. And that's not how marketing works.
That's right.
consistent dripping over and over and of a consistent brand and consistent focus in even your campaign. So I applaud you for having done that and still doing it, because I know you advertise still and you still make sure to have your name out there and always building your brand. Can you tell me, I'm rewinding a little bit to when you shared how you had about 40 weddings on the books, two baby on the way, 8-year-olds. How did you get through that?
I'm going to tell you, that was one of the hardest periods in my life, because I was also sick during the pregnancy. Very, very, very sick. Like, as in passing out in public places, and, you know, just randomly throwing up and feeling lightheaded and everything. And and I was also, you know, going through some heartbreak as well. Yeah. So it was tough to show up at a wedding and knowing, okay, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, it was really, you know, looking at my 8-year-old's face, you know, and remaining strong and him seeing, okay, even though my mom is going through all of this, she's pushing forward and she's succeeding. That I think would be that number one thing. And then just getting to the point of like, I don't know, like, I think a true entrepreneur just has this drive in them to always succeed and always move forward and always push for it. And it even though it's hard, you just have to do it. And there may be sleepless nights and, you know, okay, work during those sleepless nights. And, you know, okay, you know, my son is going on a field trip. Hey, clients, I'm going to mark this time off and I can't go. Yeah. But you have to do it. And you can't, like, you have to get to a point where you understand that you run the business, not the business is running you.
That's right. That's right.
To let the business run you. And you can't let that happen.
Yeah. You can't let the business or the demands of it or the clients in it. They can't. They can't run you. We want to serve them, right? But we're not serving them or giving them any justice by letting them run us and us not keeping ourselves organized on priorities.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You're talking to me. You're ministering to me, Alana. I'm telling you. I would love in this, you know, we probably have about 5-10 more minutes left in our conversation, but I would love to find out your brands. You have three beautiful brands, by the way, all equally represented and well done, between Alana Walker Events, and then you've got Carolina Fett and Southern Noir. Would you mind speaking a little bit to each of those brands and what made you create three brands? And how do you manage those?
Okay. So of course, my baby, Alana Walker Events, you know, we are a high-end wedding planning and design and coordination company. We work with, you know, higher-end budgets, and it's my baby. I love it. You know, anyone that calls and wants full planning, and they fit the criteria, they go to Alana Walker Events. So then there's Carolina Fett. So what happened is I would get people calling for a day of coordination, but their wedding wouldn't necessarily reflect an Alana Walker Events wedding. And of course, they still want to be shared on social media and they still want that shine. And it's important that you keep your brand pure to what it is. And if Alana Walker Events is high end, there's no way in the world I should be posting table runners and chair covers and everything like that. So I created Carolina Fett. I've got awesome coordinators within my company that's been here for years. And I said, hey, have your own thing. And anytime someone calls me, you know, we've got a great plan, you know, a great a workflow process. And anytime someone contacts us for coordination, it goes right over to Carolina Fett and they handle it. And it just, it kind of helps pull that weight off of doing 40 weddings when you can, you know, when I can charge what I'm really worth for Alana Walker Events and make my money and still not turn away coordination clients and you know, still service them. So then, you know, was birthed Carolina Fett. Then there's Southern Noir Weddings, which I love Southern Noir Weddings. That has been around actually for a while now, but it actually just transitioned into a blog and a wedding resource. And we are, you know, of course, we're doing bridal shows and things of that nature. But Southern Noir Weddings is a wedding inspiration and resource blog for brides of color that are getting married in the South. I see a lot of really great resources out there for brides of color and for, you know, all different types of brides. But I felt like we had something special here in the South that wasn't really being, that didn't really have a platform. And so I decided to make one and to go for it. And here I am. And I'm happy about it, and it's going really good. And look for a bridal show in your area.
Yeah, how was the show? You did that one last month, February.
It was amazing. We had over 200 brides, and that was just brides, not even the people that came with them.
That's right.
There's a difference. A lot of the vendors that I have spoken with, they said that they've got several leads, if not booked those leads, awesome. which is ultimately what I want to hear, which means that brides are benefiting from the show and vendors are benefiting from the show. But, you know, for me, I wanted to create an experience. I didn't want it to just be this shuffle along thing. So, you know, we had a bridal shower for VIP brides where they came, they dated, got a little food. We had a groom's room where we had a pool table and we, like, it just smelled like meat in there. And it was very, like, alluring to me. We had, like, the live game streaming on these TVs and cigar rolling, and it was great. And then, of course, you know, we had a fashion show, and it was an amazing, amazing event. So I'm excited about, you know, that whole new venture and being able to do those and add those to my services.
Yeah. Congratulations on that, by the way, because making the transition from wedding planner to bridal expo producer or bridal show producer in that category, it's two different worlds. I mean, it's two different worlds. And so congratulations on that, because it's only going to continue to grow as you continue to put out how unique the experience is, because people don't know the difference. Sometimes you're just watching. Let me see how the pictures come out from this one before I put my advertising dollars in it. They're a part of that signature inaugural event there. So, but congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What made you decide to do a bridal experience after having 40 plus weddings on the books each year?
I just haven't seen bridal shows done well for brides of color. And so that really is what drove me to do it. And, you know, with the Southern Noir platform, what better compliment for that than a show?
Yeah.
Since it is a resource blog as well.
For sure. Yeah. Well, absolutely. I have to connect you with somebody who's down here. I think you guys would be great partners in that type of arena later on. That's what we do with IWP. We do lots of connections and collaboration. So I'm sure to do that offline. But I wanted to thank you again, Alana, just for sharing your heart here. I feel like there's so much more that we haven't even gotten into as yet. Yeah. But if you were to leave from here, I always try to leave out with some type of piece of advice, some type of nugget, something that will help people go one more month or one more day in the journey. And even just realign, find their passions again in it. Because sometimes we get so caught up in the to-do that we've lost. Why am I even here? What am I doing? Yeah. Do you have any piece of advice for that person?
Absolutely. Preserve your passion. It's very important to preserve your passion. Doing 40 weddings a year is not preserving your passion. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should. Instead, you should take a step back. You should increase your rates. You should make time for yourself and, you know, be more purposeful about what you're doing. In addition to that, really, really focus on who your client is and knowing that you're working with someone who on the other end you want to be friends with and continue a relationship, because that's where that referral base is going to come from. So, you know, money feels good when it is hitting your account, but it doesn't always feel that great when you're going through the motions and you hate who you're working for because you didn't take the time to get to know who that person was. So that's the nugget that I would leave with this, is just take the time as you're going through the process to be purposeful and preserve your passion as you're going along. So that way you can actually have some good longevity in this industry.
That's good. I know I said we're coming to a close, but I've got one question from what you shared in that nugget. It is the breaking up with the bride. Have you ever had to break up with a bride or groom? And how are some ways that you have effectively done that?
I will say I had a bride that I definitely broke up with. And there was one that I should have broken up with that I'm dealing with right now. But so this particular bride, and I'm gonna make this a long story short, this bride, she was pregnant. I'm not sure if that played into it, but and she was very cost conscious. Even though she had a really good budget, she just, I don't know, for some reason, she just didn't feel like it was that great. I did a financial breakdown for her and everything. Nonetheless, it was a very short period of time, and she hit me with these emails that she got mad because I didn't tell her about the local bridal shows that was going on around town. Mm-hmm. Well, as a wedding planner, we know, number one, this is what you have us for. You don't, at this point, if you have a wedding planner, you go to the bridal shows just for the event of it. And a lot of times they send out, you know, ads and things of that nature. So I never tell my brides about bridal shows unless it's mine. And she got really nasty with me. And it got to a point where I knew that I would no longer be able to look at her in the same way. And I said to her, I said, I would really, you know, basically I just told her, I just don't think that it would be healthy for us to move forward. And I gave her her money back because I felt like she was one of those that would, you know, even though it's within my contract, she would go and spread the word and all that kind of stuff. And we made a clean break. And it was something that I knew I needed to do in my soul, and knowing the end result of her wedding and what she put her other wedding planner through, I so much pat myself on the back from walking away from her, because not everybody makes good clients always. You know, even some people who you are okay with being friends with, it doesn't mean that they make good people to work with.
That's true. Very true.
So, you know, you have to have proper wording in your contract that it's an out clause, you know, whether it's dealing with, you know, violent or aggressive brides, you being able to leave them, you know, doing something that, all, you know, that affects the planning process, that goes against what you're doing. But you have to sit down with a lawyer and determine the wording based on your state to make sure that if you leave, the monies that they have paid are considered for work done. And that also goes back to, you know, your pricing structure and things of that nature. But you should not, like, if you decide to walk away and you've done work, whether it is reserved the day or substantial, you know, venue referrals, vendor referrals, like, you shouldn't have to give them their money back just because.
Or turn down your old new business because of that date being taken. Yeah.
Exactly. I really encourage people not dealing with terrible brides. Mm-hmm. And I think that the more we as planners don't deal with terrible brides, the more the brides would begin to shape it up. Because, you know, you got this Bridezilla show, and it's funny to be hateful and ugly, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And I think
not when you're on the other end of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we as planners need to kind of join together and just really put our foot down and not deal with it.
Absolutely. I mean, it dehumanizes you, the whole process. And we have to have some level of integrity in terms of what I'm not willing to bend over for, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I know I'm holding you. I'm going to let you go, but I would love for you to share, Ilana, a little bit of where people can find you online. Okay. Anything exciting you have coming up. I know you have tons of great things that are in the works. The next Southern Noir event is going to be in the works. I'm sure it's in the works probably now, right? If you finish one and we go and we start something else instead of relaxing. Please share with the group.
So you can find me on Instagram at Ilana Walker Events, or Carolina Fett, or Southern Noir Weddings. I'm also on Facebook as well. And please, I mean, send me a personal Facebook request. I add people all the time. And, you know, if you ever have questions about anything, you know, I am definitely one of those community over competition people. Just contact me and say, hey, have you ever dealt with this, or, you know, whatever. As far as what's coming up next, Southern Noir is growing, and we're focusing on some other locations to be announced soon, and just continuing. I have a wedding this weekend with Ilana Walker Events, and I'm really excited about that. And, you know, just continuing to move forward with the growth of where I'm at, and just, you know, just continue this thing.
Yeah. Well, I congratulate you and I applaud you, Ilana. And I thank you for being that person that people can reach out to and connect with, because it's very rare. I hear more often than not sad stories of when someone's come into the industry and they said, thank you just for having a conversation, because I can't hear back from anyone when I started out. So thank you for that. And if there's anything that we can do here in Atlanta Wedding and Event Professionals Network to support you, we'd be happy to. We've helped support a lot of different bridal productions and bridal shows here in Atlanta, awesome. DC, Northern Virginia, and Maryland. And so we'd be honored to be able to collaborate with you and help you in any way we can.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much. And everybody, thanks for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions for Alana, make sure to reach out. Feel free to email us also info@atlantawep.com. And you can attention it to Alana. We'll make sure she gets it if that's easier for you, of course. And thanks again for joining us and have a great day.
Thank you for being a part of the magic with I Did It My Way. Visit us at www.atlantawep.com.